This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. India, China. The news from the BBC is alarming. India says its forces have clashed with Chinese troops in a disputed area along the border, the first such flare-up in more than a year. The nations had been working to de-escalate, says the BBC. Gordon, I come to you on this to establish that this started in the summer, well, in the middle of 2020, and has not really backed off since then. And as I recall, there are large deployments of Indian troops and Chinese troops within a few kilometers of each other. Is all that correct, Gordon?
That's correct, John. In May 2020, there was a large Chinese incursion in Ladakh, which is in the western part of the China-India border. This most recent clash is in Arunachal Pradesh, which is the eastern part of their border. So it's many, many miles away from the big clashes of 2020.
But there are large numbers of troops deployed out there. At least those are the reports I remember. And they were standing off until this present contest. So we go to our colleague, Jonathan Ward, author of China's Vision of Victory. Jonathan, first, to establish the history of this, Japan and China have enmity that dates back centuries, maybe more. Does India have that sort of enmity with China or vice versa? Or is this a 20th century phenomenon? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So it's very different. It's really a 20th century phenomenon. In India and China, very soon after Indian independence in 1947 and the founding of the People's Republic of China in 1949, set out to create what they called 2,000 years of brotherhood and friendship. And that started off in 1954 with a declaration of five principles of peaceful coexistence and Bandung. And this all was a very sort of a lot of fanfare around the two sort of new Asian giants that would lead the world together and create an alternative inside the Cold War for emerging nations. And then very soon it collapsed. In the late 1950s, you started to have clashes on the border. And then in 1962, there was an actual border war that lasted a month, and it was a total Chinese victory. So that really changed Indian strategic thinking, I would say massively. Going from a nation whose foreign policy was based on a kind of Gandhian sort of peaceful coexistence with other nations to one that today I think is very strategic, very focused on military power and partnerships. We still have a bit of neo-non-alignment that I think is truly dangerous to India's long-term interests. But at the same time, they know who their adversaries are in China and in Pakistan. And the U.S.-India relationship really needs to consolidate around this issue. It won't be that simple for us because India still, as the Ukraine crisis shows us, is still has pretty deep relations with Russia. So that complicates our diplomacy. But at the end of the day, America and India need to be aligned against the People's Republic of China. And this history is very important,
Gordon,
to that effort.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, do you have any sense why China would provoke a crisis in Arunachal at this moment? When you have all sorts of other things going on in China and specifically in Beijing with COVID and others, why would the Chinese do this?
Well, Gordon, there's always been an interplay of domestic strife and external sort of adventures, so to speak. And as we all know, I mean, China has active territorial disputes, not only with India and not only its ambitions towards Taiwan and in the South and East China Seas. But when things go badly internally, they do tend to lash out in some of these disputes and to utilize these disputes. So there's always that active sort of interplay between the internal and the external. And people have different views on that. But, these external claims and flashpoints, I think, are ones that they seek to manage and use in their diplomacy and in their narrative, honestly, about confrontation with the world, which goes back all the way to the founding of the People's Republic of China. So this is nothing new in that sense. Why they would do this with India now, I mean, one of the key reasons for their attacks on India in the late 50s and early 60s was about the closeness of the U.S.-India relationship. So I imagine some of those themes are still in play. But they seek to be able to fight their neighbors from the Himalayas to the first island chain. And that's always been the ambition.
If I recall correctly, Jonathan, after the clash started, this is the high Himalayas, very difficult terrain, very difficult to operate in the wintertime, but they continue. After that, India's response was to ban all Chinese apps or many of them and to force Chinese companies out of India to offer domestic versions of the same. In other words, a trade war started right away. Has that trade war been successful? They're maintaining their military stance, but trade is more dynamic of a weapon across the world. Is it perceived in Delhi as a success? Does Beijing think it's being hurt by India's banning apps?
Well, I think as to the apps, that is important, but still, you know, there's a long way to go. I mean, China-India trade is still pretty robust, and as per usual, with a massive deficit that favors China, you know, for example, their mobile phone companies still dominate the Indian market, and the lack of alternatives is a real problem. But getting Chinese apps out of the app stores and off, you know, that's important. And India's, I think, been very forward-looking in this. I mean, they were the first really to ban Huawei and understand the problems with Huawei. But at the same time, there is a lack of, you know, domestic alternatives or even international alternatives in some of the, you know, in some of the Indian market. And this is particularly important because as a developing market, it's easier for Chinese companies to succeed there than in some of the Western markets. So I think it's a very different battle from the ones that we're fighting economically. I remember being on the plane with a Chinese cell phone executive when I was flying from Mumbai to Delhi, and he said, we're going to dominate the Indian market for the next decade because they'll never do what we can do. And I thought, wow, I mean, that's certainly a perspective we should all be used to when dealing with Chinese corporations in certain industries. But India, and I think with the help of us and the alliance system, we should be focused on pushing China out of the markets.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, in Arunachal over the last 48 hours or so, how has the struggle between India and China gone on the ground?
Well, my sense, you know, from what I've read is that these were minor clashes, as the Indian Ministry of Defense said, minor injuries, immediate disengagement. But of course, what's interesting here is that in 2020, in the summer, these were in the Western sector. And in 2021, it was near Bhutan and Sikkim. So in the central sector. And here we are in the Eastern sector. So it shows us that the last couple of years, you've had clashes all along the China-Indian border. I mean, this is a 2,000 mile, you know, border. It's some of the toughest terrain on planet Earth. I've actually been up there on the Chinese roads on the side that they claim in the Western sector, and it's pretty hard going. So, you know, the Eastern sector is very different, as it's all, you know, controlled by India, unlike Ladakh in the West. But it sounds like this was unlike the prior incidents, particularly in summer 2020, this was a more minor incident, but I think still strategically important, particularly because there's a lot of infrastructure building and troop stationing that's still going on across the border on both sides.
Gordon, does it suit Beijing to have no good relations with the neighborhood? Is that the ambition of the PLA to show off how powerful they are and not come to some accommodation?
I don't think this makes any sense for Beijing at all, especially at this moment. I mean, I understand Jonathan's point that they wanted a foreign distraction, but Beijing is having problems with all sorts of countries at the moment. And lashing out at everyone, I think, shows a strategic misconception of China's interests.
Jonathan, I report something to you that I've learned the last couple of days about some of these countries in the neighborhood, Nepal and Bhutan in particular. China has used the debt trap against Tibet, against Bhutan and Nepal, also against Pakistan, also against Sri Lanka. You know what it is. You lend money that means that you're in charge of the government. So-called infrastructure building turns into obedience. However, what I've learned is China's calling for the loans to be repaid in some fashion. And the Bhutan and Nepal are named as two countries that can't do it. So the puzzle here, because they're in the neighborhood, does that make any sense that China's Belt and Road policy has gone wrong? So they're reverting to thuggery in order to intimidate the neighborhood because they can't count on their friends in other governments to do them favors?
Well, I think it's a very important point because the Belt and Road has always been a form of neo-imperialism. I mean, it's to get countries that are strategically important around the entire world closer to China to fulfill this vision of China as the center of the world economy. It's a game that I think they're explain better than we are when it comes to engagement with the emerging world. I mean, the fact that the debts are now being called in, I think, is showing political coercion. But also in this particular instance, I think it's worth spotlighting that this has been one of India's greatest sort of strategic, oversights. I mean, they have allowed Beijing to come in and gain a superior economic position in Nepal and Sri Lanka and the Maldives and Bangladesh. I mean, really, right. They are encircled economically in a way that ultimately may lead to basing and things like that, and certainly leads to a lack of influence in their own region. Now, some of that has to do with India's own troubled history with its neighbors, but nonetheless, Beijing has exploited that to the point that I think few in the West really spotlight that as a real issue for India. And as we think about the potential to move supply chains out of China, we have to remember that China has already succeeded in linking parts of the developing world back to itself, in spite of having very powerful and economically potent neighbors such as India. So there are games that we're losing without even knowing it.
Jonathan Ward of China's Vision of Victory, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.